Good morning. There we are. They're pretty loud this morning. So, well, I have to tell you, and I have to be honest from the front and tell you that last week, Brother Robert asked me to preach. And honestly, since then, I've basically been distracted. And so, all week this week was meetings all day Tuesday, getting ready for Tuesday night for college on Monday afternoon, and then Tuesday evening preparing for college and doing our college Bible study that we do every week. And so it's been a big distraction for me. And so for this message, it's kind of one of those that just kind of wrote itself, because I am in the midst of being distracted, and I have been all week long. And so I think it's only fitting that trying to preach this morning about being distracted and taking our eyes off of Jesus has been one of those things this week in my life in particular that really and truly has been a battle. And so I just want to kind of start off by being upfront and honest and saying this has not been a cakewalk of a message to write this week. In fact, God just really kind of brought it together the last couple of days. And so I'm so thankful for that. I always am. I'm always thankful to be able to share God's word with you. And so let's just dig in this morning. And so this morning, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And if you will stand with me as we read God's word this morning, then we'll read it together in respect for him. Luke 18, 32 through 42. A passage that you've heard, most of you, before. And this is what it says. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray together, and I'll let you be seated. Father God, we thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for this time that we have just to come to this place and to worship you. And so God, I just pray that this morning that, God, that you would just help us to focus on you. God, that you would help us to put the distractions of this world behind us just for the short amount of time. God, and I just pray that you would let your words be my words this morning. God, we love you, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, as I said, this morning we're talking about what it means to be distracted, what it means to take your eyes off of Jesus, what it means to really and truly focus on him and be devoted to him and focus all our attention on him all the time. So, kind of starting now, I have to tell myself again. About 5 years ago, I was doing youth ministry at a church near downtown. And, of course, we lived over off of Hardy Oak, and we have for the past 6 years lived off of Hardy Oak. And so my goal every single day when I left at 5 o'clock was to find out the fastest route home without breaking the speed limit. And that happened some days, and some days that didn't, but most days it did. So what happened was this. That was right around the time that 281 was a complete disaster. It was right around the time where either I could go up 281 and exit right there at 1604, or I could go down Sonterra. Was a mess at that time too, so I really preferred not to do that. But what happened was this. I figured out through trial and error that going down, exiting off 281 to Bitters over to Blanco and crossing 1604 was really and truly my fastest route home. And it saved me about 10 or 15 minutes every day when I would go that way. And so I started kind of making it my routine to go that way so that I could get home faster every single day. One day, as you know, about a half a mile up Blanco as you're about to cross 1604 is a traffic jam. And you have to wait for the lights to let you cross. You have to wait for the lights to get you where you need to go. And one day, I was sitting in my car in this traffic jam, and I looked up, and everyone was going, and I did. Around that time, I got a text from a friend, a ministry friend. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this car's just fixing to go up a little ways, and then I'll be able to stop. And in that moment, I became distracted from what was the most important at that time, and that was driving and not running into the back of someone. What ultimately happened was this, is that they all slammed on their brakes right before we got to the light to cross over 1604, and I ran into the back of this silver Mercedes. Now, it has a good ending for me anyway. Well, it is this, is that right about that time, the light turned green. Right when I hit him, the light turned green. He went on through, and I was stuck at the light trying to cross over 1604. So, me, trying to be the honest person that I was, waited for the light to turn green, went across, looked for the silver Mercedes in the parking lots all across the street, in the vineyard, and all of that area, but never found the person. Now, I did call the police on myself too, so I do have to be honest about that and tell them, hey, I ran into the back of a silver Mercedes. If anybody calls, here's my phone number. Tell them to give me a holler. And so if that was you, I would be happy to talk to you after church this morning. But I'm hoping it was not. But anyway, so you see, in little moments, we get distracted from what it is that's most important. And I see this in this passage where we have Mary and Martha, and most of us have heard this before, is that she just gets distracted. Martha just gets distracted. So what do we know about this passage? We know a couple of things. A couple of things are going on that we know for sure. First of all, Jesus and his disciples have gone into a village. And we know that that village is Bethany because multiple times when we're getting the New Testament, even into John chapter 11 and 12, we see Mary and Martha and Lazarus and all this going on there. And we know that it's in the village of Bethany. Now, what we don't know about Bethany is Bethany is only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And so we're fixing to kind of tiptoe on into Easter this morning. We're going to kind of creep right up to it as we continue on with Mary and Martha. But I think it's only significant that they are in Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem. They say it's about a 40-mile walk. I don't know how fast they're walking, but probably leisurely in order for it to take 40 minutes. But the reality is this, is that it is not that far from Jerusalem where Jesus is about to go in a couple of chapters. Down Jerusalem for everyone to yell Hosanna to him, to be crowned the king as he rides into town on that donkey. And so we know the disciples and Jesus going to Jerusalem. The other thing that we know is this, is that Martha invites Jesus and the disciples to come into her house, right? And we know that there's Martha from this passage. We know that there's Mary, who's a sibling. And later on, we find out about Lazarus. But Lazarus isn't mentioned in this portion of Scripture. And so we know that Jesus had a relationship with them. We know, just from looking, that Jesus had a close relationship with this family. And so in this moment, with the things that are going on, on this day that Jesus visited, Martha's desire was to be a good hostess. Martha's desire was to serve the best meal with the best presentation that she could possibly do for Jesus and the disciples' sake. And so all that to say, it is not wrong to serve. In fact, I want to kind of make that clear from the front, that it's not wrong for us to serve. In fact, Jesus was a suffering servant. Jesus was the one who set the example of what it means to serve. And so all this to say, when we're talking about Mary and Martha and what Martha did and what Mary did, it's not wrong for us to serve. But whenever that service takes our eyes off of Jesus, then we probably need to take a step back and reevaluate the situation and really and truly see where our priorities lay. Other thing we know is that we see the other sister. We see Mary who's sitting at Jesus' feet. It says that she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, this is kind of unusual for a couple reasons. First of all, she was a woman. Second of all, it is the disciple's spot to sit at Jesus' feet. It is the disciple's spot to sit at the rabbi's feet. And so for Mary to be there and to take a break from serving and to sit at Jesus' feet, it just tells you the importance of the moment and tells you how much Jesus valued Mary and Martha and Lazarus and this family, that she would be sitting at his feet. Other thing we know is that Martha gets somewhat frustrated with Mary and basically has a rather abrupt conversation with Jesus, right? So Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus. Martha is doing all the serving. She's doing all the preparation. She's probably, I don't know about you, but when we have folks come over to our house, like, we clean. That's kind of the thing that we do. And my parents have always said, you know, been the family that cleaned before anybody came over and cleaned when people left and cleaned all in between. But in order to be the good host and the hostess, we were always taught in my family that you have to clean and you have to prepare and you have to be on your best. And so that's exactly what Martha is doing here, is that she is preparing. But what happens is she gets distracted in the preparations. She gets frustrated with Mary, and she goes to Jesus, and basically she says this. She says, "Hey, Jesus," I'm going to summarize it for you, so don't go look in your Bible right now, but here's a summary version. Hey, Jesus, like, do you not care about me? Do you not care about the fact that I'm doing all of this stuff for you, that I'm serving you in all of these ways, that I've been preparing this meal all day long, that we are going to have the best in this meal? Do you not care about me? Do you not care about the fact that Mary is just sitting here doing nothing, right? Because that's essentially what she's inferring here. Sitting there just listening to you, and I'm doing all the work. And then she goes one step further, and she tells Jesus what to do. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like the best way to go about this, to tell the creator of the universe, the one who's going to die on the cross for us, the one that's going to, the one that a lot of these disciples already know is the Son of God, to tell him what to do. So think about this. He goes, tell her, she goes, tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. And in that moment, Jesus sees through the situation and he sees Martha's true problems. And he basically tells Martha in a gentle way that a simple dinner would have been adequate and that Mary's decision to sit at his feet and hear his words were the better portion, was the better choice. And so, today I have three takeaways. And I promise you we'll be out of here. I would promise my mom that I'll keep you for 20 minutes and then we'll be dismissed. But here's three takeaways that I really want us to look at this morning. The first is this. What are the things that distract you in your life from knowing Jesus to the fullness that you have the opportunity to do that? Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted by much serving. So, my brain doesn't always comprehend what distraction is. I know what a distraction is. I know what that looks like. But really and truly this week, I was like, what does it really mean to be distracted? And so I looked up the definition. Here's the definition of what distract. To draw or direct something, such as someone's attention, to a different object or in different directions at the same time. And so what this is basically telling us this morning is this, is that whenever we get distracted, even if that's by serving, even if that's by other things in our lives, then our attention is taken off of Jesus and is put in a different direction or in different directions at the same time. Think about that. So when we're distracted, our focus, which should always be on Jesus, is taken away from him and put on different things that really and truly don't matter. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a couple of different things that distract me in my life. And I've kind of put these in two different categories. The first is this, is sinful things. Because the reality of the situation is this, is that whenever we are living in sin, whenever we are acting out in sin, whenever we are doing things that could be considered sinful, We are distracted from Jesus. Think about that. So for some of you in here, maybe it's the fact that you go on social media and you spend a lot of time there and you compare yourself to other people and you want what they have and you want their lifestyle and you want what it is that they have, what God's put in their lives or what they've gotten for themselves. The reality is this, is that sinful things draw us away from Jesus. And so when we're consumed by the things of this world, when we're consumed by the things of this world, guess what? Our attention is no longer on Jesus. For some of you, you want to feel important. And I understand that. We all want to feel important. But you've given in to the temptation of gossip. You want to know the gossip. You want to dish the gossip. You just want the gossip in your life. And so for some of you in here, I would encourage you, if that is you, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. For some of you, you are distracted by the internet. You are distracted by what you're looking at on the internet. You're distracted by the advertisements that pop up on the internet. You're consumed with the internet. And I'm here to tell you, the internet is not all bad and social media is not all bad. But the reality is that when it shifts our focus away from Jesus, then we give into those temptations and we a lot of times take our focus off of Him. For others of you, you're like Martha. You know, maybe the things that you're doing, maybe the things that you're involved in, maybe the things that you're even leading are not sinful. But the reality is that they're drawing your attention away from Jesus. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. Maybe for some of you in here, you're a connection group leader, and your connection group takes all your time. It consumes your thoughts. It consumes your mind. It consumes every single day of your life. And I'm not saying that preparing for your connection group lesson is a bad thing. But the reality is this, is if it starts taking your attention away from Jesus Himself, that's a problem. For others in here of you, you're leading different ministries, you're involved in different things, and the same can be said for true. If that ministry takes precedence over Jesus Himself, then there's a problem. You know, just like what I was telling you this week. Like, there are different things that kept popping up. On Monday, we had meetings all day long as a staff on we're also trying to finish the mother's room over here. Me and Jordan, we're paying a lot of attention to that. And all those things aren't bad. All those things are great things. All those things are things that should be pushing people and directing people towards Jesus. But the reality is when they step in the way of us experiencing Jesus to His fullness in our lives, then we have a problem. We take our eyes off of Jesus. Now, this isn't the only time that this happens. Another example of somebody taking their eyes off of Jesus is Peter when he's in the boat and Matthew. What happens? He goes, "Hey, Jesus, can I jump out on that water?" And Jesus is like, "Come on, let's go." And so Peter hops out of the boat and he has his eyes on Jesus and he has his eyes fixed on Jesus. And what happens? He gets distracted. He gets distracted by the waves, he gets distracted by the wind, he gets distracted by the fact that he's walking on water, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and when he does that, he begins to sink. Y'all, we've got to keep our attention and our focus on Jesus. J.P. Pakluta, who's a pastor at Harris Creek in Waco, this is what he said: "Are you more inclined to do things for Jesus than with Jesus? Are you more inclined to do things for Jesus than with Jesus?" When we become consumed with doing things for Jesus rather than being with Jesus, then we're distracted. We're distracted. Second thing, what happens when we're distracted? A couple things. Verse 40 again. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me.'" A couple things here that I just want to point out, and we got two more points, and we'll close it down this morning. But this is the first thing. Our distractions shift the focus off of Jesus and onto us. So when we become distracted, the focus becomes us. Think about this. So Jesus is there. He's teaching the disciples. They're sitting around, probably having some good discussion. And what happens? Martha gets frustrated with Mary, and she basically comes in and says, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you tell my sister? Don't you care about me? Why don't you tell my sister that she needs to help me?" Think about that. So the focus is then off of Jesus and on to Martha, right? So whenever we get distracted, our distractions shift the focus off of Jesus and onto us. So what is your focus? What is your focus? I think one of the great examples that I've seen this year of what it means to continually focus your eyes on Jesus is this. For a lot of you, you know that I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, which is both fortunate and unfortunate at the same time. But every August, you get your hope up. Every January, your heart broken. And then you have to recover until August, and then you get to have hope again. But one of the greatest things that I've seen in the NFL this year is people who are keeping their focus on Jesus. Now, like I told you, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm not a Houston Texans fan. But one of the greatest champions for Jesus that I've seen this year is C.J. Stroud, who's a quarterback for the Houston Texans. And I can only imagine what his life is like. His life is surrounded by media. His life is surrounded by trying to run a new offense that he's never been in before. He's a rookie. His life is consumed with trying to get to know teammates. His life is consumed with trying to find a house and figure out what it means to have a life as an NFL quarterback. His life is full of distractions, right? Or it could be. But this is a quote from him that I really appreciated. And there's several this year that have really spoken out about what it means to have faith in Jesus. And he's one of them. Christian McCaffrey's one of them. Brock Purdy's one of them. There's several other people who have really spoken out. But this is what he said as his platform and not getting distracted. This is what he says. He, Jesus, laid his life on the cross for us. I really believe that. This is bigger than just ball. And if I have to use football for my purpose to spread the gospel and the life of Jesus Christ, then I'll do that. And I think that that's what God wants. So you can live your everyday life. You can live with the distractions around you without it taking your focus off of Jesus. What a great example. Second thing is this. Our distractions shift the blame off of us and onto Jesus. So, let's hear what Martha has to say. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Right? So, basically in this moment, she's saying, hey, Jesus, because you're here, right, summarize it, because you're here, because I'm trying to do my best to prepare this meal, because I'm doing all these things, Lord, do you not care that I'm left here to serve alone? Think about that. So Mary is kind of shifting the blame off of her and onto Jesus. And so what are we talking about here? You don't care about me, right? She's telling Jesus, you don't care about me. She's essentially blaming Jesus for the fact that Mary is sitting at his feet listening to what it is that he's saying. Now, I don't know about you, but the blame game is something that I learned at a very early age. And my kids did at the same time. So a couple of Christmases ago, Campbell, who's our youngest, got an iPad for Christmas, right? And so what happens is that about a week goes by, and the iPad is shattered. The screen is shattered. And so what happens is that we kind of begin as parents to question our children to figure out what exactly has gone on so that this iPad is shattered. So We look at the history on the iPad, and we see what the last watch show was. We look at the screen itself, and it shoved under Campbell's bed to look like he had broken the iPad and then tried to hide it. And so as we questioned, as we kind of got along with things, we figured out quickly that really it was Bailey who broke the iPad. Bailey is our oldest, and she's 2 years older than Campbell, 3 years older than Campbell. And so what happened was this, was Bailey ended up knocking the iPad off a dresser, shattering the screen, folding it up, putting it under Campbell's bed so that it looked like he was the one that was to blame, right? Now, I don't know about you, but that is my life sometimes. Sometimes I feel like it's easier to blame somebody else than it is for me to accept the consequences for the things that I've done. And so that's exactly what's happening here. As our distractions shift the blame off of us, which is really our sin nature, which is really our problem, which is really the things that we're struggling with, and it puts those things on Jesus. Now, here's kind of the consequence of that. The consequence of that is that when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we blame God for the hard times in our lives, and we don't thank him for the blessings that he's given us. And so, our distractions, whenever we become distracted, shift the blame off of us and shift that blame onto Jesus. And that's what Martha did. She's basically blaming Jesus for the fact that Mary is sitting there not doing anything in her sight and not helping. Last thing is this, is that we think that we know better than Jesus. Now, I'm hoping for your sake that you would never say that out loud. I'm hoping for your sake that you're not bold enough to say that you know better than Jesus does. But the reality is that's sometimes how we live, right? The reality is that that's sometimes how we live our lives. Now listen to what Martha has to say. Tell her then to help me. Tell her then, hey, Jesus, do you care about the fact that she's just sitting at your feet? Well, if you do, then tell her to help me. Why? Because she, in that moment, thinks that she knows better than Jesus. Then you tell her, Jesus, to help me. Now, like I said before, she gave Jesus a command in this moment. She gave Jesus a command to do what it was that she wanted in this moment. Because she thought she knew better than Jesus. Here's Jesus' response. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen the good portion. Which one will you choose? Last thing is this. Is your life marked by distractions or devotion? Is your life marked by distractions or devotion? What do people who are around you every single day see in your life? Let me put it a different way. Do the people who you are around, who you associate with every single day, see someone who's busy? And that busyness can be here at church. Do they just see someone who's busy? Or do they see someone who's devoted to Jesus? There's a huge difference. This isn't the only time that we see Martha serving and Mary worshiping. As we're about to get into the last week of Jesus' life, as we're kind of coming to Palm Sunday, and where Jesus is exalted, and cloaks are thrown and palm branches are thrown in the road as he passes through on the donkey. Right before that, John 12, 1 through 8. This is what I want to kind of end right here. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came back to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance and perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And he said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." So basically, we see Martha again preparing to serve. This time we don't hear any thoughts that she has regarding her sister. But we see Mary again expressing her worship to Jesus in such a way that when we're talking about her all these years later, we see the devotion that she has to Jesus. In the first passage in Luke 10, we see that Mary is sitting at his feet, soaking it up. What it is that Jesus is saying, she is soaking it up. And in John chapter 12, we see that she was willing to take a jar full of ointment that cost a year's wages and dump it on Jesus' head and put it on his feet and to wipe his feet with her hair. So who are you going to be? Are you going to be the one that's busy for the sake of being busy? Are you going to be the one who is serving for the sake of serving? And serving's not a bad thing. Serving's not a horrible thing. In fact, we talked before that Jesus was a suffering servant. That Jesus was the example of what it meant to serve. Folks, the better portion is knowing Jesus. The better portion is your full-hearted devotion to Jesus. So who are you going to be? Is your life going to be marked by distractions, or is your life going to be marked by devotion? Let's pray together.